what is required for scriptural, divinely accepted baptism. In the study last week, we look at the fact that scriptural New Testament divinely accepted baptism must have at least three things for it to meet the standard, the criteria I have just mentioned. For that baptism to be considered scriptural, according to the gospel, for it to be one that we know God accepts, it must have, one, a right prospect. That is, the person getting baptized must be the right person. And by right person, we are not talking about how rich or educated, how short, how tall. No, we are not talking about that. It must be a person with the right type of mind and attitude. It must be a man or a woman who is teachable. It must be a man or a woman who is rational enough to take teaching. It must be a man or a woman who is not just rational enough, but able to weigh things and to make determination in respect to what he or she wants to do. That's the right subject. But for a baptism to additionally be scriptural and be the one that God accepts, it must have the right action or mode. That is, how the person is baptized must concur with what God states here. I cannot get myself sprinkled, a little water sprinkled on my head, and call that baptism, because nowhere in God's word do you find that definition for baptism. So for a baptism to be accepted by the Almighty God, it must have the right action or mode. That is, it must be carried out the right way. For a baptism to be accepted, it must have the right purpose. What do you mean, preacher? I must accept and submit to the reason. Instead of using the word purpose, I use another word so that if you miss one, you get the other. So that the reason I am subjecting myself to baptism agree with God's reason for which he wants me to be baptized. So the reason, the purpose for baptism must be right. We look at that last week. Last week we also look at the fact that at baptism, the Almighty God gives the prospective convert, a new start. That does not happen when you believe. That does not happen when you repent. But it happens at baptism, that God gives you, the sinner who have come to him, a new start. What do I mean? All your past sins are removed. At baptism, that does not happen when you believe or when you have faith. It does not happen when you repent. At baptism, your sins are dealt with through Jesus' blood. At baptism, not at faith, not at repentance, at baptism, you're cleansed from all your past. Therefore, God gives you a new start. We also look at the fact that it is at and in baptism it is at and in baptism that you change masters. The Bible tells us that before baptism you were slave to sin. That is before baptism. When you believe, you are still slave to sin. When you repent, you are still slave to sin. But the Bible tells us that at baptism, you change master from slave to sin to servants of, help me here, righteousness. At baptism, you change not only masters, you change kingdom. That's right. One of you want to read for me Colossians? Was it chapter 1, verse 13? At baptism,
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness.
Wait. Notice the tense of the verb. Delivered. Dundee. Who hath delivered us
from the power of darkness.
From the power of darkness. That's one kingdom, you know. Wait, what it is saying, when you have not been properly taught and get baptized properly, you live in the kingdom of darkness. That's right. This is telling you not how you see yourself or how your neighbor sees you, how God sees you. Who hath delivered us
from the power of darkness.
From the power of darkness.
And hath translated us.
And hath translated us.
Into the kingdom of his dear son.
Somebody didn't hear that. Because, brother Wade, the book you are reading was written somewhere between 50 and 60 A.D. I'm just roughing it up there. And at that time, that's some 2,000 years ago. Am I right? Or approximately. And at that time, 2,000 years ago, the Colossians had been translated
into the kingdom.
Into the kingdom. That means the kingdom existed.
That's right.
You get the point? It's important that you take into consideration the tense of the verb. The passage didn't say that he will translate you in. He hath translated you into his kingdom. Yet we have the Jehovah's Witness telling us that it was not until 1914 that the kingdom come. Something is wrong there. Because here we have Christians who some 2,000 years ago were in the kingdom. And yet, you have people today teaching their falsehood, telling us it was 1914 that the kingdom come. Yes, brothers and sisters, at baptism, you change not only masters, you change kingdom. From the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God, beloved Son. But not only that, at baptism, as we pointed out last week, you change destinies. That's right. That's a fact. When a man or woman does not express faith in Christ to the extent that that man or woman wants to obey Christ, in such important act like baptism, when you have not reached that point, destiny, you're heading for the eternal hell. That's a fact. Destiny. The only time that we change our destiny from the eternal hell to the eternal heaven is at baptism. And last but not least, it is, remember, destinies are not changed when you believe. Destinies are not changed when you repent. But the Bible tells us that it changed at baptism, because that's the time you get into Jesus Christ. But not only that, the Bible tells us that at baptism, you change state. You change state. What do you mean, preacher? Before baptism, it matters not how religious you are. It matters not how much faith you are. Before baptism, you are in the sinful state. May I have Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 and verse 12? Before baptism, you are in the sinful state. It is after baptism you change from being a sinner to a saint. Wait. Saints are not dead people. That's right. When you read the Bible, you will see that saints are people who are alive. That's right. Hold that passage of Ephesians chapter 2. In a few minutes, instead of relating it to this, it will come in more handy at a point I'm about to raise. So it is at baptism that masters are changed from servant or slave to sin to servants of righteousness. That kingdoms are changed from being a part of the kingdom of darkness to being a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is at baptism that destinies are changed from heading towards the eternal hell to heading towards eternal bliss with Christ. It is at baptism that your state That is your condition. That is your spiritual condition is changed from being a sinner to a saint. Now, last week, I started or make one or two statements, and time ran out on us, and I had to stop at that point. And the point, brothers and sisters, is this, and get this right. One does not get baptized. That is God-accepted baptism. And somebody said, Mr. Mitchell, you keep talking about God-accepted baptism. Are there some baptism God doesn't accept? Yes, a lot. Simply because they do not meet God's criteria. May I just throw this out if you didn't know it? There is a case in Acts where some people had to be baptized again, or baptized over. Sometimes, each time I use the word again or over, I like to explain it. Because for God, they were baptized only once. That is the one when they were properly instructed and properly baptized. The previous baptism they went through was a matter of just dipping. They went in the water, but God did not see it as baptism. I throw that out, that you can take me up on it. And by taking me up on it, I mean you and I can sit down one-to-one and talk about it. Yes. So as I've said, one does not get baptized. That is, God accepted baptism in order to show or in order to prove that you already receive or got something spiritual. You don't get baptized to show anything. Before baptism, you have nothing spiritual to show. Let me repeat that. Wait. You know we have the popular saying, it's in book. I have a book in the office there, like the Baptist manual, which state that baptism is an outward sign of an inner grace. What does that mean? It means you get baptized. That is the outward sign to show that you already got something that is inside. What is that? The grace of God. So when you get baptized, that is the outward sign. The thing you have inward, the grace of God, is already there. That's a lot of nonsense. We do not get baptized in order to show that you already received something or you got something. I repeat, before baptism, we don't have anything spiritual to show. And this is where now Ephesians comes in, brother. I said chapter 2, verse 1 and I think verse 1 and 2 and verse 12.
And you hath he quickened.
And you has Jesus Christ made alive. That's what the word quicken means. And it means that when you are not a child of God, watch, here you are dead in sin. When you are not a child of God, you are dead in sin. When you become a Christian, you are alive to righteousness. So let us hear it. You are he?
Quickened. Who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Wait, there you have it. I just put sin. Here the Holy Spirit speaking said, you were dead in trespasses and sin. That is before you become a Christian. He was writing to the Christian at Ephesus, and he was telling them what they were before they became Christian and what they were after they became Christian. Watch here now. The brothers just read verse 1.
Wherein? In time past, he walked according.
In time past, that is before you became Christian, you Ephesians, you walk.
In time past, according to the course of this world.
You understand what that means? You live as worldly and you live as ungodly people. You did not have Jesus Christ to help guide your life. You did not accept the gospel. You didn't know the gospel to live by. You didn't value the gospel to live by. You walk according to the course of this world. Read.
According to the prince of the power of the air.
You know who that brother? A Satan.
That's right.
The devil. Lucifer. That was our master before he became Christian. And if you're here today and you're not a child of God, that is describing you, because it is describing every man and woman who have not obeyed the gospel. Read now, brother.
The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
That now works in the children of disobedience. This the same devil spirit, Lucifer spirit, that guide your mind and your thought and your word and your ambition and whatever. When you have not obeyed the gospel. That is verse 1 and 2 finish. Step down to, I think, verse 12.
That at that time, ye were without Christ. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers of having no hope and without God in the world.
You got it? Here the passage just read is telling us how we are seen by God before we got baptized. You talk about you are getting baptized to show that you got grace. Which grace? Huh? Which grace? Outward sign of an inner grace? How did you get? You don't understand that? Money is available to every man. All of you here have money. No, some of us are as broke as you can. If Have you taken it? Have you appropriated it? Have you grabbed onto it the way God... Wait. Have you found yourself at the place where God put it? Talk about you get baptized. To show that you have God's grace. Baptism is the outward sign. The inner grace I have, I'm only baptizing to show that I got the thing already. Oh, sir, you are mixed up. You are drinking something. Because that is completely contrary to God's word. Let God tell you where his grace is. And wait. He also tell you how you can get there to get it. First, let God tell us where his grace is. Let us hear verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Somebody didn't get that. Somebody didn't get that. In Christ Jesus. Where is it?
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ. Wait. This sign of the cross of Jesus Christ, God's grace, has never been available anywhere else other than in Christ. Read the passage again.
Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace.
Be strong where?
In the grace. That is in Christ Jesus.
I love how Paul didn't just leave it there. You know, be strong in the grace. He reminded Timothy where he was.
That's it.
Resigned. In Jesus Christ. Wait, Mr. Mitchell, what in Jesus Christ means? He's talking about a particular kind of relationship.
Therefore, I endure all things,
for the elect's
sake, that they may also obtain the salvation.
The salvation,
which is in Christ Jesus. Let us hear it. For you are all the children of God by faith.
You are all the children of God by faith.
In Christ Jesus.
Where are we children of God?
In Christ Jesus.
Phrase in Christ, it is such an important one. All the spiritual
in prayer. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ.
Right away. It's like Paul is saying when he wrote to the church, that's Galatia. Yes, when he wrote to the church of Christ in God, and he made the statement that they are children of God in Christ, he thought in case they have forgotten what they need to get in Christ. He said, let me remind you how you get in Christ. The only way to get in Christ. For as
many of you
as have been
baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
That's the only way to get in Christ. Mr. Mitchell, faith does not put in Christ. No. With faith, you are on your way to. Repentance, Mr. Mitchell, doesn't put me in Christ. No. With repentance, you are on your way to. This is why you always see the word and to use in respect to faith, repentance, confession, and unto. Always. But when it comes to baptism, it's usually in or into. You know the Bible is plain and simple. Talk about baptism is an outward show of an inner. You don't have any grace to show before you are baptized. That's right. Because grace is in Christ. You are children of God in Christ. May I? Baptism too is not a mere formality or a ritual. You don't get baptized simply because the church asks you to do it. You must be convinced that it is necessary. You must believe that it is necessary. Wait. And you must baptize for the reason or purpose God attaches the baptism. That's right. In fact, do you know, baptism is so important that there are passages in the Bible that speak of the act of baptism as an act of God. Just over the past week or so, I planned that probably there will be a lesson just on that. That baptism is an act of God. Wait. Remember that baptism is an act that the sinner is called and must submit to, and the sinner must willingly and rationally submit.
to it.
Baptism is not something the sinner does for himself. That's why the Bible always speaks of it as you get baptized, not that you baptized, but you must get it done to yourself. Almost all the passive. I've never searched to write that in English. It's a passive voice, something like that.
But get this now. Look at St. John chapter 3, verse 6. And chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. St. John. Chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 4, 1 and 2. Let me hear chapter 3, verse 6 first.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Uh-huh.
And that which...
is flesh. That which is born
of the Spirit, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Wait. If this baptism Jesus Christ is talking about here, of course, the word born in regeneration. Real up.
And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When, therefore, the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John.
By the way, Jesus Christ made more disciples than John. And Jesus Christ baptized
more disciples than John. Though... Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples.
I wish I have time. Well, let me, since I'm there, sometime I plan to come back. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6, 11. Quick, brother. Oh, Lord. Let us hear it. 1 Corinthians 6.
And such were some of you.
No. May I?
That is verse what?
11.
Brother Webb,
pick up at verse 9 or 10. What you have here, verse 9 or 10, Paul is showing the Corinthians. Are we there? Are we there? You are not here. There were immorality occurring. You could describe it as rampant. The church's attitude towards it was ungodly, to say the least. The Holy Spirit through Paul points out in these verses to remind the Christian not only about sexual immorality, because keep in mind, all the sins mentioned here are immorality. I'm sure many of you don't realize that. All of the sin mentioned, the idolatry is immorality. Because when we speak about, especially in the original language, about morality, you are speaking about right and wrong. That which is wrong is immoral. So what you have here, Paul did not just deal with this one sin, but he deal with many sins that Christian must keep in mind, that before you became a Christian, you practiced these. Now that you are children of God, you cannot live in them anymore. Let us hear it, brother.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Mm-hmm.
Be not deceived.
Be not deceived.
Neither fornicators.
That is sexual sin.
Nor idolaters.
That is also religious sin, and that is immoral.
Nor adulterers.
Nor adulterers, that is also sexual sin.
Nor effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind.
Nor abusers in whatever form that abuse take. Read on.
Nor thieves.
Nor thieves.
Nor covetous.
You know, I always find this text fascinating, that in the Bible, God and inspiration hardly ever deal with sin the way man does. Truly. And this passage, as impress upon me that the sin that was occurring, that was under consideration, was that this young man was having his father's wife. Yes. For some reason, if we were dealing with that, we would deal with it that like it is the only sin in the world. What you have when sin is dealt with like that, you make the other people who are guilty of various sins feel that they are righteous and holy. So here you have somebody who said, how will I deal with that? No, he realized that in dealing with one sin, if you don't deal with it properly, you can destroy others. Read on.
Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Read now.
And such were some of you.
Wait now. That's verse 11.
And such were some of you.
That is, before you became a Christian, you were guilty of
But ye are washed.
Run away. Read on.
But ye are sanctified.
Read on.
but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus.
The three things that were done to them here, it is worded as if they were all done by God. What washed are they? You are.
But ye are washed.
Washed. You know what that is talking about? Baptism.
Yeah.
And it is so worded as if to say, this is what God did for you in washing. As if to say, God is the one who performed the baptism. Read on.
But ye are sanctified.
You are sanctified. Who did that? God.
But ye are justified.
You are justified. Who did that? God. So here again, the Bible deals with baptism as if it is an act of God. And in a sense, it is because God's commanded and wants.
Wait.
One is baptized in order to get or to receive. You don't get baptized because you got or you already received. Remember, when you hear people talk about baptism is an old word sign up in a grave, they are telling you that they got something already, and they are getting baptized just to show that they already got something. Whatever they got, you can see that not from God. But you can't get anything until you obey Christ in baptism. In fact,
you know, I don't know where time goes when a man is preaching, but I realize that it's time to let you go home and eat your curry goat and whatever else. Just one piece of chalk here for finishing up. That's right.
Did I just say, I just read half of my list and see that the time is gone and I cannot do like Joshua commanded the sons of Samson and stop all at once. Yes, we do not get baptized to receive. We do not get baptized to show that we receive something. There are two last passages. There is that word. This is the Greek preposition translated for unto, in, order to, these are some of the translation of this word which you find in your Bible. In fact, it is in the book of Matthew 26 and verse 28. Look at it here and Acts 2. It is translated for unto, in order to. Matthew 26, 28.
For this is my blood of the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
All these it is translated for, it is translated and, it is translated order, it is translated to the end. The brothers just read Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, but you weren't listening. So please listen now. Read.
For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
That's the word for here is the word is. Same word.
Acts chapter 2, verse 38.
Okay. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins.
Now, here again, the "as" is what translated "for," and the "for" here means in order to. But watch here, man. We are not in the day here, this word play. The day first, we're talking for forward about the meaning of this word. You just need again to look at Matthew, chapter 26, 28, that was just read. Watch it.
For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Same meaning it has in Acts. Brothers and sisters, the word "as" always look forward, not backward. This word is a word which always points to what is to come, not what is already, but what is to come. We do not get baptized because we already get remission. We get baptized in order to obtain remission. That's the word, the way the word is used. Not because of, but in order to. I'm going to stop here. So much more to share. But it will be shared another time. There's so much more to share. If you're here to be an child, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, when Paul said, have your invitation raised up, when Paul said to the Roman, know ye not that so many of you were baptized? That translation probably would better serve if the translator had translated it. Have you forgotten that when you got baptized, these are the truths that were pointed out to you? And then Paul went on to show them some of the truth about baptism that were given to them. But it's important that what are we at? What does God expect the sinner to know about baptism before he or she is baptized? At least the sinner must know the purpose for which he or she is getting baptized.
your people and when he says, you work back.